This is the 30th of May, 1976. Gerda and I are interviewing in the Eugene, Oregon area.
Would you please tell us your name?
Margaret Nielsen.
And would you tell us what Scandinavian country your people came from?
They came from Denmark.
And do you know where in Denmark?
Yes, my father came from an area right near Copenhagen, south of Copenhagen, in a place called Ryge, Denmark, not too far from Roskilde. And mother came from the opposite part of Sjælland, over near Slagelse.
Would you give us your parents' names?
My father's name was Carl Nielsen. My mother's name was Christina Nielsen.
And what was her maiden name?
Her name was Nielsen.
Nielsen.
A Nielsen married a Nielsen.
Do you have any recollections of your grandparents? Have you ever heard any stories about them?
Yes. My mother's mother and father came to this country with five children.
And what were their names?
Well, Christine was the middle one. And Fred Nielsen was the youngest one.
And the parents' names?
And the parents' name were Hans Nielsen and Maren Nielsen.
And can you give us any incidents or stories of their lives?
My grandparents?
Yes.
They came to this country and settled in the area in western Iowa, near Kimbleton and Elkhorn, on a farm. And they had a very, very rough time because my grandfather was in Denmark not a trained farmer. He was a gårdmandsson, and therefore he didn't really know how to farm too well. So they had a rough time. But with the help of neighbors, they got along reasonably well. And of their five children, four went through the university, all had a master's degree. One of them was a doctor of laws. Only my mother did not have a university education. She went to Folk High School, and she did become a teacher for a little while. Folk High School in Elkhorn, the first folk high school in America.
Do you know why your grandparents left on your mother's side, why they left Denmark?
I think it was mostly for economic reasons. But I think, too, that they had heard good stories about America and how there was opportunity for their children, maybe better opportunities that at that time were found in Denmark.
Do you know if your grandparents became citizens of the United States?
No, they did not.
They did not. They remained Danish citizens.
Yes.
And then, now, your mother was born in Denmark.
Yes.
Do you know if she ever became a citizen?
Oh, yes. And my father, too. My father was, I presume at that time, the wife became a citizen with her husband. My father became a citizen as soon as he could.
Do you know the circumstances of your father coming to the United States?
Before we go there, do you know if your maternal grandmother or grandfather spoke English before they came here?
No. Very little.
Did they learn to speak English?
My maternal grandmother did a little. Well, I guess both of them learned a little.
Do you know if the home was then bilingual? Did your mother learn Danish and English at the same time, so to speak?
Yes. Oh, yes. And that's the reason that she and my father reared us as Danish Americans.
Bilingually.
Yes, as bilingual.
Mm-hmm. Would you give us a bit of lineage on your paternal side?
I don't know too much about that. My father's father died before his mother came here. And my impression is that she came as a maid. And his people settled in Wisconsin, in Waupaca. And
what year?
Pardon me?
What year?
What year?
Yes, did they settle in Waupaca?
1894, I think. Somewhere her in there.
Then do you know how your mother and father met?
Oh, yes. They met at this folk high school in Elkhorn.
And did they ever tell you some of their experiences?
Oh, yes, they loved it there. They were very happy. A pastor from Denmark had established it, Christian Anker, who was later given some kind of honor from the Danish king. And he established the school there and united the church and the school in one and built it, of course, according to the Grundtvig standards. And I don't know how they advertised for people, but they came from far and near. And my mother came partly to have confirmation training. And so she and Dad met. And Father came from Wisconsin. And they spent 2 years there and had the time of their lives and the education of their lives. And, they spoke so happily of those years. And then my father and she, I think, had a tentative agreement, but my father would not propose real marriage to my mother until he had $1,000 in the bank. And so they were married in 1901 in Omaha.
In Omaha. Now, you spoke of these five youngsters who, four of them, got a very much of an education. And that was not really the usual thing in that day.
No.
Do you know what drove them to get all that education?
My grandmother was quite ambitious for them. She had a good education in Denmark. And she felt that her children were talented, and they were. And so she encouraged them to do it. All of them practically paid their own way through because they worked. And helped themselves through.
Now you spoke of you said you were born in Omaha. What recollections do you have of your childhood home in Omaha? Can you even describe the house for us, if you can?
It was a typical middle class home, 2-story. We rented for a long time. My father was a printer, and worked very hard.
Do you know what company?
Omaha Printing Company for a long time, mm-hmm. and then the Danish Pioneer for a while. Mm-hmm. And he and mother were also ambitious for us four children. And we had a musical education, and we went to Sunday school, and we went to Danish summer school, and we learned Danish from our grandmother and grandfather and our mother and father. So we learned how to speak and read and write Danish.
Now, you spoke the language in the home, then?
Yes.
The Danish language. What church did you belong to in Omaha?
It was called at that time the Danish Lutheran, probably Evangelical, too. I don't know what all the name was.
Now, in the church, were the services in Danish?
Yes. While we were there, it was. They were.
Now, what about the summer schools?
And that was Danish.
It was also in the Danish. Mm-hmm. Now, you said your father worked for the Danish Pioneer. That's a Danish newspaper.
Yes.
Then I presume they also took that paper at home. Were there other Danish publications in the way of books or magazines or other newspapers?
Oh, yes. I think we took all the magazines, Danish magazines and newspapers that were issued. And my father and mother were briefly editors of Kielkeli Samla, which was a Danish newspaper, the longest lived of all the Danish publications, a church paper.
Did your parents ever become members of any Danish lodge?
No, we were not.
Or any other Danish club or group?
Dansk Folksamfund, which is a Danish, people's agency. It was a cultural group.
When you were growing up in Omaha, was there a Danish community that your family associated with?
Yes, mostly the church people.
And so then when they had their get-togethers, were they Danish in their entertainment and in their foods?
Yes, very much so.
Tell us about some
Yes, we children were often invited. I don't know how, when I think back on it, I wonder how we were ever invited, because we were four children. Well, that made a group of six, but I think we nearly always went along. I hardly remember having a babysitter. And there were other young people that we enjoyed associating with. We were huge groups. And we would have, two sittings at the dinner or at the lunch or whatever it was, or Afton Cafe. And the adults would eat first at long, long tables, and then the children would be served afterwards.
At these doings, did you speak a lot of Danish?
Well, we youngsters didn't among ourselves, but whenever we were speaking to the adults or our parents, we spoke Danish.
We didn't get your brothers and sisters' names. Would you mind giving them?
Yes. Now, wait till you hear that. My oldest brother's name is Ralph. Frederick. And my next brother's name is Herluf. My sister's name is Ingeborg Sina. And my name is Anna McGlade, actually. When my oldest brother was to be baptized, my mother was a great admirer of theologians, especially Danish theologians. And so she thought, and she was a great admirer of Skatrøderen. And so she thought it'd be great to name her oldest boy Skatrøderen. And so she wrote that to her youngest brother and said, I would like to name this baby Skatrøderen. And he telegraphed back and he said, in heaven's name, Chris, don't name that child Skatrøderen.
So he didn't get that.
And she did not name him that.
Do you know if your grandparents interested in politics, and did they ever run for school board, city council, or any even higher offices? What were they interested in politics?
My parents?
Yes. Your grandparents, too?
No. They were interested in politics. It's quite interesting because my mother and her relatives were Republicans. And in fact, my uncle was quite a high person in the Republican circles in Washington. But my father was a Democrat. And so every time they voted, they would balance each other, cancel out each other.
Well, then, and you yourself, have you ever been interested in politics as far as running for office or anything like that?
You mean actually in government politics? No.
Now, your father was in the printing business. Did he ever join a union?
No, he was an independent.
So he never was a part of the union movement in the United States. Did your grandparents ever get back to Denmark?
No, they didn't. That was a great sorrow. In fact, my parents didn't either.
Oh, that's the next question I was going to ask you, if they ever had a chance to get back to Denmark.
But we have.
Yeah. Now, that's what I want to get on with you. Would you sort of describe your schooling in Omaha and then go from there onto your higher education? And then would you tell us a little bit about your work? And bring us sort of up to date on maybe what you're doing today.
I went to school in Omaha, Nebraska, started in the grade school there when I was six, and went through high school in Omaha, through Central High School. And then I went to California because my brother Ralph was on a scholarship. And I went to Berkeley, to the University of California, had my freshman year there. And then he came back to Nebraska to finish his doctorate, so I came back to Nebraska and finished my bachelor's degree at the University of Nebraska in English and speech. Then I started to teach, and I taught for some time in smaller towns and then in Omaha.
Could you give us the smaller towns in which you taught?
I went to Woodbine, Iowa first. That's perhaps 40 miles from Omaha. And then I went on to get my master's degree at Northwestern in speech and drama. And then I taught, then I came out during the Depression, so I had to teach in a small town again, even though I had a master's degree. I taught in Takema, Nebraska. And then I taught in the Curtis School of Agriculture. for a year. Then I taught in Britt, Iowa. And there I had the pleasure of teaching not only in high school, but in junior college work. But always English with speech or drama, or both, until I got to Omaha. And then I taught straight speech.
And at what high school in Omaha?
At North High.
North High School. When did you leave Omaha then to come and investigate?
Then I left Omaha in 1965 and came to Oregon. And for 7 years I was at the University of Oregon doing editing and writing at the College of Education. Particularly in the Bureau of Research, Bureau of Educational Research. And now I'm a freelance writer, you might say.
Would you tell us about the book that is in the process of coming out?
That's been very exciting. About 3 years ago, I was doing some editing and wrote to Dillon Press on some other project, and they replied and said, well, no, they didn't think this would work out. But did I know that there was a book in the making, or that had just been issued, called Of Norwegian Ways? And they were now looking for another of the ethnic series that they had started, and that would be called Of Danish Ways. And did I know anybody who would undertake that? So I talked to my sister Ingeborg about it and said, would you think you might be able to do that? And she said, no, not unless you help me. And so we decided to undertake the project jointly. And at the beginning, we thought maybe she should do all the writing and I should do the editing in order to maintain a certain style, so we wouldn't have chapters that were of different style of writing. But after a while, we decided to try to mingle those styles. So I wrote perhaps a third of the chapters, and we edited one another. And then we sent it in. They wanted us to wait till we had, well, they sent for a couple of chapters and the table of contents first to see what we were doing. And then we wrote it all up. And then we sent some pictures too, and they chose an illustrator. And it's going to be illustrated too.
Now, what is the name of the book?
The book is called Of Danish Ways.
Of Danish Ways. Mm-hmm.
It's one of the ethnic series, you see. Ingeborg McAfee.
And we'll be looking for that.
Thank
for
you.
Sure. Now, while you have lived in Oregon, have you belonged to any Danish societies or clubs?
No. My Danish association really is really ended when I started college.
Now, you went on to higher education and became a teacher. Was there a moment when you knew that you wanted to be a teacher, or was that a growing thing,
well,
an unconscious thing? Sort of.
I think I've always known I wanted to be a teacher. We've had teachers all along the way. My mother's sister and brother were both teachers at the higher level. Well, my uncle was a superintendent of schools. My aunt was head of the foreign language department at Bowling Green State University for many years. As I said, my mother was a teacher briefly. My uncle was a teacher. The one who was a lawyer in Washington was also a teacher at Georgetown University, and in law, international law. And my other aunt was likewise a teacher. She was a doctor, a physician, and so she taught in connection with her work as a physician. So it was more or less a foregone conclusion that Christine's children would teach, and we all did.
Now, you have been back to Denmark. You have been to Denmark. I shouldn't say back to Denmark. You
yes.
Have been to Denmark.
Yes, I have been there
now,
three or four times.
You must have heard things about Denmark as a child. Did you have then some preconceived notions about Denmark, and were they true or were they not true when you finally got there?
Yes, I had. I had very lovely impressions from my childhood on, things that I had read in the literature and had been told. And my grandmother, of course, would tell me lovely stories about Denmark. And we had any number of books in our home. And when I got to Denmark the first time, I was with a tour, a, a Scandinavian traveling seminar, it was called. And it was just as if I had come home. And one of the men of the tour was a professor at Pennsylvania University, University of Pennsylvania. And he said, Margaret is just like a person returned to her home. And of course, I spoke the language, and they said to me over there, how long have you lived in America? Well, I said, of course, I was born in America. And I had so much fun because I could speak the language and understand it without flaw.
Did you find any family?
Yes, we had cousins, mother's cousins living at that time.
What was it like to meet them?
Oh, it was lovely. It was, again, there. They were so much like my own grandparents. And the young people, a good deal like us. The only thing that we thought was quite different was when we'd had Grace at the table, which was very similar to what we had grown up with. And many of the things that they did and said were like us. But the only thing that was quite strange to us was after dinner when they all lit up, all the ladies lit up cigars.
I can understand your surprise.
Did you join them?
No, I'm a non-smoker.
Were there any surprises in Denmark? Now, the other things you had sort of expected, were there anything that surprised you?
Besides the cigars.
Besides the cigars. Oh, I don't know. Nothing. It was a charming place. Tivoli was so much fun. It was interesting to visit Grundtvigskirchen, for example. And interesting to visit Carlsberg. And to know that with every glass of beer one might drink, one improved the culture of Denmark because he's such a philanthropist. And then we had a swim in the North Sea, and that was exciting because we would have to get into our bathing suits in a little green house in Espia on the coast, I meant to say. Near Fanø, I think it's better for me to say Fanø. And so three of us women got into a little house, a little green house that was drawn by a horse. And so we three women had all gotten undressed completely and were trying to pull into our bathing suits when the horse came to the front of the little bath wagon and was hitched up by a young boy, and we started traveling down to the waterline. And we three naked women inside the little house were jostled along, and we got the hysterics because we said, it's just like going to the guillotine or something. And that was one of the most interesting escapades we had on that trip.
I can understand that. Now, as you look back on your life, what would you say that is a Danish ways that has influenced you most? What is it about being of Danish descent that has meant most to you?
I think it was when I went to graduate school, and I said when I had to decide on my thesis, I had to decide on something that would tie up with literature because I was taking it in dramatic literature in connection with the play directing. And so my thesis advisor said, now, since you read the Danish language, you really are duty-bound to tie up in some way with a Scandinavian language. So he suggested several things. Among them was the literature of Bjørnstjerne Bjørnson. And, of course, he was a Norwegian, but since I could read Danish, I could also read Norwegian, that is, the Gamle Norsk. So I decided to use that as my thesis, and my thesis then was on the social problems that Bjørnson stood for as reflected in his plays. And so I read all of his social problem plays and compared them with his speeches, Bjørnstjerne Bjørnson's speeches in, what was Parliament called? Well, a Parliament, Norwegian Parliament, Storting? Yeah, Storting, Folketing or Storting, and so I compared those as to in six different ways. I took six different issues that he dealt with, and so because of the fact that some of them were not translated, some of his speeches were not translated, and I think one or two of his plays were not at that time. I had to send to the University of Minnesota or Wisconsin for them, which they did for me at the university. And so I read them in Norwegian. But, of course, my thesis had to be in English. Well, I sometimes wondered at whether or not my thesis advisor or my committee that examined me on it understood what I was trying to say. But at least I had a great deal of pleasure in that.
Now, your mother was very anxious that her youngsters become something in the new world. Were you able to do this thing for her? And if so, would you explain?
Well, I like to think that probably both of my parents would have been very proud if had they known what would happen to their children. All four of us, as I said, had college educations, and we two girls have our masters, my two brothers their PhDs. And they sacrificed a lot in order to give us that education.
Where were your brothers teaching?
My oldest brother taught for many years at Pennsylvania State University. He is now Professor Emeritus and is an organist also, quite an accomplished organist. My younger brother, Herluf, was at USC for several years in engineering and Professor of Engineering, and more lately at Long Beach State University. He also is Professor Emeritus.
And your sister?
And my sister taught in various places in early childhood education. And the largest place she taught at was Oregon State University, and now she's teaching at Warner Pacific in Portland.
And how did you make it a foursome on the college level?
Well, I was kind of low on the totem pole, actually, because I was a non-teaching instructor while they were professors. But I just sort of won over one of the persons whom I interviewed when I came out here, and he happened to need an editor, and I'd had considerable experience in correcting themes and speeches and debates and things of that kind.
Now, the Danish royal couple has recently been in the area, and I understand you had an opportunity to go up to the luncheon in Seattle. Now, we are almost out of tape. Would you just talk until the end of the tape about the visit?
Well, I could go on for a long time, but it was one of the greatest thrills of my life to go to Seattle. My sister and I flew from Portland to Seattle in order to attend the luncheon for the Queen of Denmark, Dronning Margrethe, and her consort, Prince Henrik. And that was such a lovely experience.